Shalom to all! Today we're going to learn Yerushalmi Sukkah right at the beginning of Perek Beis, and the Ozbach Rishus Daf on Yud Alam Beis right at the top, and the Arsko Rishus Daf on Yud Alpha and Aleph at the top, and today's office sponsor, Lila Nishmas, Mars Mem Sarabas Biakam Moshe, Hernish, Shama should have an Aliyah. So Misha tells us, Hayashin Tachsam Mita, if a person sleeps underneath the bed inside a Sukkah, Layat Zedech Havasai, he wasn't Yosei's Chiv, it's not considered like being in the Sukkah. And Amr Behuda says, Noigin Hayinu Yashenim Tanez Kainim, our custom was, we used to sleep underneath the beds in front of the Zakainim, Velayim Rulon Dover, and they didn't tell us anything, and we're going to see in the Gemara what exactly Rabbi Yehuda is trying to do. Now, Rabbi Shimon says, Maisa, there was a story, Betavi, with this fellow named Tavi, Avdei Shomer Gamliel, he was a slave of Rabbi Gamliel, and we actually find stories all throughout Mishnayos with this fellow Tavi. It turns out he was quite the Talmud Chacham, Shehaya Yashin Tachsamita, he slept underneath the bed, and Rabbi Gamliel told his Kainim, Re'isim Tavi Avdi, did you see Tavi my slave? Shehu Talmud Chacham is Talmud Chacham, Yodea Shavadim Ptur Min HaSukkah, he knows that Avadim Rapat from Sukkah, Yashin Le Tachsamita, so he slept underneath the bed. Now, if Yidar Kenu Lamanu, in the course of this, we learn, that a person sleeps underneath the bed in the sukkah is not Yotzi's Chiv. So the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Yashin Tachzamita v'chulu. So first the Gemara says, Tamatini over there, we learned the Mishnah, this is in the previous parak, Aval Peresu al Gabin Akliti Amita, that one could take a sheet and drape it over an Akliti Amita, which is a two-posted bed, that's one post in the middle of the headboard and one in the footboard, and this blanket or this sheet is being draped over it, kind of looks like a tent, and we said that's perfectly fine. Bavakayu Amar Hachin, over here he's saying this, by Peresu al Gabin Akliti Amita, we say there's no issue, even though he's underneath this sheet and it's kind of like a tent over him, it's still considered like he's sleeping in the sukkah. But over here, somebody sleeping under a bed is not considered like he's in the sukkah. What's the difference? So Rambam Blazer, he answers, Taman, over there in that Mishnah, who vitalisoy tachas sukkah. It's considered like him and his talis, his sheet or his blanket, whatever it is, are really underneath the sukkah. That's because, as we had explained there, since it's not really considered permanent, it's not a four-posted bed, it's just a two-posted bed, it's really no different than him putting the blanket over his head and then he's completely under the blanket, not under the schach. That's just the normal way to sleep. That's very non-permanent. And that's what Akliti Amita is. Bram Hacha, over here, he and his talis are underneath the bed because the bed is way more permanent and therefore it's not considered like being in a sukkah. Now the Gemara has another question. It seems to be a stira and shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Taman hu amar, over there he says, hamaisa kadam l'talmud, that maisa, deed, comes before learning. Over here he says this. What's this referring to? So that's a case in Maseches Pesachim in which he says that if you want to learn something, but that's going to come at expense of actually doing a mitzvah, then you can't do it. You have to do the mitzvah and you're not allowed to learn instead. But over here, it seems to be saying the opposite. In this question of the Gemara, it's understanding Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah as saying that we used to sleep underneath the beds in front of the Zakenim, and even though we know that we're not Yotzei Archiv of sleeping in a sukkah because we're under the bed, nonetheless, the Zakenim didn't tell us anything because we were there to learn from the Zakenim. We wanted to learn from their discussions and their ways, as we see from here that it's okay to be loymed to learn and not to do the Maisa. So the Gemara answers, no, we misunderstood him. The really, Sav Rabbi Yehuda holds, Hayashin that one who sleeps underneath a bed is like he's actually sleeping in the sukkah. So it turns out that I have a mina of understanding Rabbi Yehuda was incorrect. And in truth, Rabbi Yehuda is arguing with the Tanakhama and he's saying, no, you're allowed to sleep under a bed in the sukkah because we did that in front of the Zakenim and they didn't tell us anything. It must be that you are Yotzei. The Gemara says, that's so. Kol shekein mechav shitas Rabbi Yehuda. For sure, we have a steer and shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Detain Taman, we have mentioned over there. This is also in the previous parak. Rabbi Yehuda says, Im ein diurim bel yoina hatachtoin ksheira. If there's no one living in the upper sukkah, this one we have a sukkah, tachs a sukkah. We have two sukkahs, one on top of another. So if there's no one living in the upper sukkah, the bottom sukkah is kosher. However, what would we learn from here? Im yesh diurim bel yoina, if there are people in the upper sukkah, hatachtoin psula, then the bottom sukkah is pasul. But it seems to be steer to what Rabbi Yehuda is saying over here, that you could sleep underneath the bed, even though there's people in the upper sukkah, so to speak. There isn't an upper sukkah over here, but there's still people in the main sukkah, and you're, so to speak, underneath it because you're under the bed, but it's still technically considered a sukkah, tachas a sukkah, and even though there's people in the upper one because they're in the main sukkah, they're still allowed to be in the bottom sukkah. That's a steer to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda in the previous parak. So Yud Alef Amar Alef on top, Amar Rabbi Yehuda answers that no, Taman Yashom Chalal Acher. Over there, there's a totally different hollow, there's a totally different space. That was two distinct sukkahs, one on top of the other. And therefore, if there's people in the upper sukkah, people who are in the lower sukkah, and they're totally separate, they're in a totally different space than the upper ones, they're not in a kasher sukkah. Ram Hacha over here, when he's underneath the bed, in Kan Chalal Acher, there's not another empty space. The bed is simply in the same sukkah as the other people, and therefore it's not considered sukkah tachas a sukkah. Maybe it would be one sukkah within another, but it's still considered the same sukkah, so it's not a stira. The Gemara continues though, Machav Shitas is Rabbi Gamliel. Seems to be we have a stira in Shitas Rabbi Gamliel. Maybe it's a stira in his Hanhaga, how he acted. Why? Because the Tani, we have a Mishnah that tells us that Tavi Avdei Shomer Gamliel, Hayu Noisin Tefillin, Tavi, the slave of Rabbi Gamliel, would put on Tefillin even though he was a non-Jewish slave, Volim Yechaviyar Chachamim. And the Chachamim, meaning Rabbi Gamliel, he wasn't Maichi, he didn't protest. You might think this is a cause for Macha, because we know that a non-Jewish slave is only Chayv in Mitzvahs like a woman is, and a woman is not Chayv in Tefillin. tefillin, and if he's going to put on tefillin, it looks like he's trying to add on to his mitzvahs, so maybe Rav Gamliel should be maicha, but no, Rav Gamliel wasn't maicha. However, v'kai, michu b'yadai, over here, there was a macha. What does it mean there was a macha? So we're understanding that the reason why Tavi slept underneath the bed is because he was scared of Rav Gamliel. He was afraid he was going to be told, you're not allowed to sleep in the sukkah, you're not chayv in sukkah. And so we see that really Rav Gamliel is maicha against his slave doing something that he shouldn't. So the Gemara says, no, that's incorrect. The reason why Tavi slept in the bed is for a totally different reason. Shaloi litcha kesachamim. It's so as not to take away space from the chachamim. There was many talmidim, many chachamim that came to Rav Gamliel's sukkah to learn from him, and Tavi realized that if I take up space in the sukkah, there's not going to be space for somebody who's really chayiv, and therefore I'm just going to sleep under the bed. But really, it's no problem for him to sleep in the sukkah on a regular night when there aren't guests and there's no one there. Tavi technically would have slept on top of the bed and not under it. Ask the Gemara, im shaloi litcha kesachamim, and that's the reason why he was under the bed. He didn't want to take away space from the chachamim, so yashav lechutz sukkah. He should have been outside the sukkah. Why sleep in the sukkah at all if he's under the bed and he's not yotzei in the first place? So just go outside the sukkah, sleep in your cozy bed at home. And the answer is that Ratzah Tavi Avdus from Gamliel l'shmei devar chachamim. Tavi, the slave from Gamliel, wanted to hear the words of chachamim. He wanted to learn Torah from them. As we said, Tavi was quite the talmid chacham, and that's why he slept under the bed. And moving on to halacha beis, the Mishnah tells us hasemet chukase l'kari amita. A person leans his sukkah against the legs of the bed. Kshera, it's kosher. Now this is talking about where he has his regular bed, and then he takes walls, leans the walls against his bed, and then puts chach on top of those walls. It's kosher. It's perfectly fine. No issue. Now Rabbi Yehuda says that it depends. If these walls that he put up leaning against his bed are not able to stand on their own, which means the schach can't stand on its own, in other words, if the bed is taken away, the whole thing would collapse, so psula, it's pasul. Now we clarify, she's Rabbi Yehuda, why is this pasul? Rabbi Yehuda says, mishum she'ein mime'ei hamita l'schach asar tfachim, because from the bed itself to the schach isn't 10 tfachim. He's talking about a case where from the mattress of the bed, let's say, to the schach is less than 10 tfachim, and since the only way the walls of the sukkah are able to stand is because they're leaning on the bed, so in essence, the floor of the sukkah is really considered the bed, and since there isn't 10 tefachim from the bed to the schach, so it's not a kosher sukkah because it doesn't have the proper shear. Now Amar Rabba, he explains differently, mishom she'in mamid al gabi davar tame, that's because you can't be mamid, you can't put your schach on something which can be makabel toma, that's what it means, davar tame, and the bed is a kli, so it could be makabel toma, and since the whole sukkah is leaning on the bed, so it's like putting schach on something which is davar tame. Asking where, how could this be? Vatani, we have a story, there's a story that the people of Yerushalayim would lower their beds from their windows, and they would turn them on their sides, and they would put schach on top of their beds. That's how they would build their sukkah, and there was no issue with that. Now, in Tamer, mishum she'in mamid al gabi davar tame, if you want to say the reason why we reviewed in the Mishnah Apostles is because the schach is considered to be resting on something which can be kabel toma, well, harim mamid al gabi davar tame. These anshe Yerushalayim are resting their schach on something which can be kabel toma because it's their bed, and therefore have less time. Ella mishum she'in mamid hamita schach asar tfachim. It must be because of Rav Imi's reason that there isn't 10 tfachim from the bed itself to the schach, and that's why the sukkah is pasul. However, as we had inferred from Rabbi Yehuda, that if it is able to stand on its own without the bed, then it's kosher. That's even if there is not 10 tefachim from the bed to the schach. And that's because since the walls in the schach are able to stand without the bed is just considered to be something separate which was brought into the sukkah, and that's not a problem. It's not considered like it's minimizing the amount of space in the sukkah because we measure the sukkah from the floor and not from the bed. And moving on to halacha gemel, the Mishnah tells us, sukkah hamiduvleles, a sukkah meduvleles, shatziyasam ru mechamasa, the shade is more than the sun, ksheira, it's kosher. Another din, hamo'ovik min bias, if the schach is thick like a house, it's thick like the roof of a house, even though the stars cannot be seen through the schach because it's so thick, ksheira, it's still kosher. So the Gemara clarifies, Rav and Shmuel argue about this. Chadom, or one of them, says, what does miduvleles mean? Miduleles. And perhaps the best way to translate this would be sparse. In other words, the schach is very sparse, it's very thin and wispy, there isn't so much of it, and the Mishnah is saying that's not a problem, as long as there's more shade than sun, it's kosher. Now you'd have on top of Amar, the other one says, miduvleles, and miduvleles means miduvleles, and that means mixed up. In other words, there's schach pasul and kosher over here in the sukkah, but the schach pasul is very well mixed with the kosher, and so you can't really tell that there's schach pasul here, and it really just looks like he has schach kosher. That's not a problem, it's still kosher, because the schach pasul is batal beroiv, it's nullified by the majority of the kosher schach. Further clarifying this, Mando Amar miduleles, according to the Mando Amar, the miduvleles is understood as miduleles, namely that it's very sparse schach, that has to be b'shitzilas meruba, is where there's more shade than sun, and therefore if you peek back in the Mishnah, we would read it as follows, sukkah miduvleles, which really means miduleles, shetzi lasam ruba mechamasa, that its shade is more than the sun, so then it's kosher. In other words, these two parts of the statement go together. The only way that sukkah miduvleles, this very sparsely schacht sukkah, is kosher, is because there's more shade than sun, even though there's not so much schach. However, umando amar, miduvleles, according to umando amar, that's miduvleles, that's b'she'enzi lasam ruba. It doesn't have to be that there's more shade than sun. In other words, it doesn't have to be that the schach kosher provides more shade than sun than the pasul partial schach. Even if technically the schach kosher only provides 50% and the schach pasul would be providing the other 50%, it doesn't make a difference. We have 50% shade, which is okay, and it looks like we have only kosher schach here, again, because it's meduvleles, it's mixed very well with all the pasul schach, and therefore it doesn't have to be tilas meruba. And then this is the way we would understand the Mishnah. If you take a look, let's read it again. Sukkah hameduvleles, that is one statement, it's one case, a sukkah meduvleles is perfectly fine. Or a different situation, it's where we have schach pasul and kosher, but it's not meduvleles, it's not mixed up together, so we're very easily able to point out the non-kosher schach. Still, as long as it's tzilasa merub mechamasa, there's more shade than sun being provided by the kosher schach, that's perfectly fine, it's okay. Now we go on to the last case in the Mishnah, where it said the schach, even if it's as thick as a house and you can't see the stars, it's not a problem. Now what's the Gemara say? Hada'amr, this tells us, one should be able to see the stars, because the whole lashon of the Mishnah is bidiyeved. If you can't see the stars, okay, fine, but that's only bidiyeved. L'chatchila, you want to see the stars. Rav Levi clarifies, b'shem Rav Chama bar Chanina, b'kaychve chama shanu. This is talking about the rays of the sun. In other words, we're not talking about the stars that come out at night. We're talking about the rays of the sun. If a person's in his sukkah and the schach is so thick that the rays of the sun are not able to penetrate, that's only bidiyeved kosher. But l'chatchila, it should not be that thick. However, according to this, in terms of stars that come out at night, even l'chatchila, it doesn't have to be possible to see the stars through the schach. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow with halacha daled. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.